Alrighty.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Scary Cast.
Hold on.
On a rainy Monday night in Myrtle Beach. It is a dark and stormy night. And we got it right here. So it's going to be exciting and glad everyone's here as we are greeting everyone on the VOC Nation Network tonight and on Friday night at 11 p.m. So if you're there Friday night at 11 p.m., just know that we actually had the show. Isn't that comforting? Anyway, it's great to be here with Dr. John, and we've got, of course, our esteemed panel. We've got some exciting things to talk about tonight. First of all, from Emerald Isle, North Carolina, the maestro of wrestling, Papa Stro. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great. Great to be here with you guys once again.
Well, it's good to be here and glad to have you here. So thanks a lot. And from Hollywood, California, our man in Hollywood, Devin Tate. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Dr. John. I'm doing great here. Just trying to stay cool with this heat wave we've got.
Oh, really? Have you got a heat wave? Oh, wow. That's something else. Well, I hope you stay safe and stay cool out there in beautiful, sunny Hollywood. I'll bet it's just grand out there, isn't it? And we do a turnaround, switch around tonight, and one of our co-hosts is our guest tonight, Robin McRae, along with her husband, Pat McRae. How are you doing, Pat and Robin McRae? How are you doing tonight?
We're doing really good, John.
Well, I am glad. Robin will be here.
Just in a second.
Okay, well, you know, sometimes you have to be back in a second. I know all about that. One. I'm just teasing. That's great. Anyway, glad everybody's here. And now, Pat, you're in the middle of the South Carolina. Are you guys having a big bunch of rain from Hurricane Mario and Hurricane Laura right now? I know I am.
Not really. We had some rain today, but really not that much.
Gotcha. Well, we are certainly glad to have you with us, and I know that we've got a lot of great things happening for Scary Cast. I was talking to Robin this afternoon. She said, oh.
Hello?
Where did Dr.
Hello?
John go?
Where did he go?
He vanished.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my goodness.
He probably just got kicked off.
He'll call back.
Yeah. And he was just getting around to his first question.
What was his first question?
I was trying to figure it out, too.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I'll tell you, we had some things happen this weekend.
Oh, wow, really? Do tell.
We're helping someone move.
Mm-hmm.
We went and got furniture and stuff like that. And we took the table over. And it had the table sitting on its side. There's no way the table could have been scratched anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And we noticed when we got the table back and we looked at it, there was some writing on it.
Oh, wow.
And we are basically right now trying to decipher it. It's a map. It really is.
Oh, wow.
It's a map of some sorts that the Bigfoot drew on the table. We feel one of the legs was pulled off. We feel they were leaning on it, and the leg just, well, they weigh a lot. So they pushed the leg off, and then they wrote maybe it's a rock or something. I don't know. What they did on the table. There's no way.
Wow.
I mean, we've kind of debunked all this. And, you know, we had it on top of a mattress and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Or or a box spring, and we had it tied down with ratchet straps, and it couldn't have moved. So Robin got it down, and there was nothing on top of the table, nothing written. And then maybe about 45 minutes to an hour after we got done doing what we had to do, the writing was on the top of the table. So they have down the road here, they drew a map. They did a representation of our house in the woods.
Oh, wow.
Wow, really?
I didn't see it, but I didn't see
That's
it,
wild.
But I heard it was our house. The Foots did a representation of our house.
Huh. That's so wild.
It's like pretty wild over here, I'll tell you. I mean,
oh,
I was asleep the other night. I call it the zone. You're in between sleep and awake and stuff like that. So,
oh yeah, I've been there.
I'm sleeping, and I hear this all the time. A voice. I heard her very distinctly, so crystal clear, and she called my name. And it wasn't my. I talked to my dead mother, and it wasn't my mom, and.
Mm-hmm.
The Foot said it was the lady of the house. And Robin got a name, Lillian. So I've talked to, we have a cat named Georgie. Her owner died. Her owner chimed in one day, and I'm just sitting there. And she goes, I was petting Georgie, and she goes, I heard, in my mind, that's my cat. I go,
oh, wow.
I go, who is this? And she says, my name's Marilyn. That's my cat. Really weird, huh?
That's crazy.
And how was
Marilyn?
Huh?
How was Marilyn?
How was she?
Yeah.
She was dead.
Yeah, right.
She was there.
Okay.
And talking to me right in my living room. It was like with telepathy.
Oh,
and
wow.
You know, telepathy is the communication, I believe, and Robin does too, of the universe.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I know I've had a few telepathic experiences, especially at your house. So, I mean, you know,
oh,
what
yeah.
can I say? So it's just been crazy there at your house, huh?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of stuff happening. You know that, John.
Oh, yeah.
Just a lot. I was up there. Well, you sleep in the same room. I was up there, and I heard something crawl on the outside of the house. I'm not kidding. It's crawling up the side of the house. Really weird stuff.
Well,
it's always weird.
I remember that. I was dead asleep, and I woke up the next morning because you were up there because you had a back problem, and I was just hanging out on the couch until I went to sleep. And you looked at me and said, did you hear all the racket outside of the house? Things climbing up? I said, no, not really. I was watching the Coin Network on like QVC, and I had passed out, and I never could really hear it, but it really was kind of interesting. And you had some experiences there, and I don't know. So anyway, we just never know what's going to happen. I know I tend to have a few voices, and I have a few things going on just here where I live in Myrtle Beach, and it does get a little bit creepy. But now, Papa Strode, do you ever have anything strange happen at your house? Uh-oh.
Oh, my house? Oh, my goodness. All
yeah.
the time. All the time.
Yeah. Dorothy, she gets in all kinds of mischief in my place. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Climbing trees and riding a tricycle and playing with owls and cats and all kinds of good stuff. And,
well, we know you have a few strange things there. That is absolutely the truth.
Coming out of nowhere with deer. That's just crazy.
Really? I mean, I can imagine. I mean, I hate it when I have people knock at the door at 4 a.m. and I'm sure that no one's there. That's kind of scary. Devin, what do you have out there in Hollywood? You have anything going on where you folks live?
You know, I'm lucky that we don't have anything here in our apartment, but I did stay at the Mission Inn, which is a famous hotel here in Riverside, California, for a work conference that I was at. And while I was staying there, the closet door just would open and close by itself several times. So that was pretty freaky.
So you're in Riverside, California, or very near there?
Well, that's about an hour or so east of us.
Well, now, you know, there have been some very famous lizard man sightings in Riverside, California. They happened in the 60s and in the 70s. People reported seeing an animal that looked like a lizard walk across the highway there, right there on, near the river. And that happened several times, and I've got some friends out there that report that it was a big deal in the newspaper, and nobody knew what was going on. So Riverside is certainly a town that has had its fair share of problems or interesting paranormal events, and they happen all over, especially California seems to have its share because you've been populated for so long by Europeans, Spaniards, and Indians. So you've got a very, very rich history over there. A lot of people living there and a lot of strange things happening, especially in the Mount Shasta area, which is in Northern California. A lot of crazy things happen over there. A lot of Bigfoot sightings, a lot of ghost sightings, a lot of UFO sightings. That seems to be the order of the day up there in Mount Shasta. In California, they even have festivals that celebrate all this great kind of stuff. So, I mean, you know, California is certainly not immune to strange things that have happened. And so it is kind of interesting. I know that when we held the Lizard Man Festival this past year, it was actually online. And if the truth were known, I was actually broadcasting it from the home of Pat and Robin McRae. And to hear footsteps walking up the stairs and then stop at the door to the bedroom where I was in doing the broadcasting, and I would let someone talk and I would sneak over there and I would open the door and there was nobody there. So it is kind of strange. Ghosts seem to hang out around us all the time. But anyway, so now Robin, Pat, has Robin come back with us yet, or is she still waiting to get back
there?
To the microphone?
I think she's trying to get on, John.
Oh, okay. That's kind of what I thought. So let me see if I can bring Robin back on. I tell you what, it has been a little bit strange tonight, but we do have strange things happen when we have all kinds of rain and, you know, I wouldn't say snow, but we have lots of rain. Robin, have you come back to us? Oh, she has dropped again. So she's having some problems getting through to us Yeah, she's trying to get through to us, and I know it is just kind of weird. But anyway, I'm sure. And there she is again. There is the queen of scary casts. She's coming on board. Come on, there she is. And hello, Robin. How's the queen of scary casts tonight?
Good. I was talking to you guys, but nobody can hear me.
Yeah, we've had a few strange things happen here, at least with the weather here in Myrtle Beach and being able to get online, and I think probably some of that's following you. Pat was telling us some of the stories of what's been going on at your house.
Oh, it's crazy. Like, you know, we've got now this map on the top of my dining room table.
Yeah, we heard about that a little bit.
It looks like if you look at it, number one, it couldn't have been done by a dog because dogs can't make claw marks horizontally. They go up and down. And when you look, we had the table on its side, and it's oval, and there was not a scratch on it. And if you look at it from the top, it comes down, and then it bubbles out and back in, which is the same shape as the road that we were on. And then at the base of that, it's got all these horizontal lines. And in the middle of these horizontal lines, it's also got oval circles on it. Those could be a pond, they could be a river, they could be a lake, whatever. But the way the horizontal lines are, they almost look like two different paths, and they all lead to the same place. And then on the end of the table, there's all these peculiar drawings down there, and it looks like it would be like a cluster of trees or bushes or something. So it's probably that's where they're at. That's the only thing I can think of. And we didn't – I'm familiar with the Bigfoots over there because I've talked to them before, and I'm over there quite a bit. And there's never been any of them aggressive or antagonistic. You know, I didn't pick up any bad energy, any bad vibes, nothing. But I did hear somebody running through the bushes. And I thought, well, you know, okay, whatever. And we were busy moving furniture, so I didn't really pay attention to it very much. And so I left it. But now I have all this carved into my table. And they removed the leg. They busted the leg on it. And the screws on that leg, there was like 10 screws that go up into the leg itself. Those things are bent and curved. I mean, whatever happened or whatever went down, it was a lot of muscle that went behind it.
Wow. Now, how deep were the marks in that table?
Pretty, I mean, enough where
yeah, I think they're
I
pretty
can't
deep.
Buff it out. Yeah, I can't buff it out. And the weird thing that I thought was bizarre is when they first did it, in the beginning, like when we first saw it, we went to go put it back on the trailer, and we looked at that, and I went, Pat, my God, look at the table. And it was a fresh, so fresh from where they had done it that it stood out like a sore thumb. It's a light-colored table, and these marks stood out like they were neon. So we all sat there looking at it. There was Pat and I and two of our friends, and we're all looking at this going, what just happened? Because nobody was here. You know, we're on a private drive
that,
out in the woods.
That's
there was
the
nobody
norm.
Around.
Nobody's here, but something happens.
Yeah, and so as we put it back on the table or on the trailer, and then we put in, I don't know if Pat told you, but when we moved it there, it was on top of a mattress. Okay, there was nothing there to scratch it. So when we went to go bring it the rest of the way, because we would remove the mattresses, we put a tarp and stuff down so no more damage would happen. And we get home, and I'm looking at it, and all of a sudden the grooves look like they're fading. Where
really?
30 minutes before, yeah, I tried to take pictures of it, and they won't show up very well. But yet 30 minutes prior to that, they stood out like neon signs.
Yeah, a lot of times, though, you'll take a picture, and the picture will be gone.
Yeah, they do that, too.
From your camera phone.
A friend of mine and I were in Pennsylvania, and we got a picture of a fae. And that thing was there 1 minute, and they took that picture out of there so fast.
Took it out of what, your camera?
The camera.
Yeah.
They remove things right off your camera.
They can put stuff on your camera, talk on your phone.
Years ago, there was a situation I was working on, and somebody had gotten film footage of them. And they didn't want it. The Bigfoot didn't want it out. It was supposed to go on a TV network. And they were doing a release of the footage. And the Bigfoots were just terrified about what was on this footage. And I had talked to the Foots that were actually had gotten filmed, and they were just having a fit. And so I got hold of a certain Foot that tinkers better than anybody I've ever seen. And I told him, I said, you've got to get it off that film. I know you can do it. Get it off the film. And so he's like, okay, I will. And we went to go to this premiere of this. And I looked out in the field by the building, and I saw my Bigfoot friend out there playing with the turtle. And I'm like, quit playing with the damn turtle. You're supposed to have taken care of this film. So he goes, and we're going to watch this footage. And first he couldn't get it to play. He had two or three different things there to play it on that was on a tape, and he couldn't get any of them to work. And the guy said, well, I live near here. I'm going to go grab mine, and we'll play it, because we had like 100 people there to watch this premiere. And so the guy goes and gets his own equipment, and I'm thinking, crap, I never thought about that, you know. So he goes to play it, and as he's playing it, he's like, okay, you know, you're going to see him by the stream, and you're going to see this one Bigfoot that's there, and he's in the stream, and there's two other ones standing next to him, and it's completely clear. It's not a blur, it's not a blob, it's completely clear, and I'm thinking, please, God, let him have destroyed this tape. He gets to the stream, and a calendar picture of a cat shows up. I kid you not. And every time he got to a part that the Bigfoots were supposed to be at, and I had talked to people that had already seen the footage he had, and it was legit. But every time it got to the part of a Bigfoot, a picture of a cat would come on, and it looked like a picture off of a calendar. And this guy was flipping out. He was just, he was in complete shock. Like, I thought he was going to have a nervous breakdown. He couldn't figure out what had happened. He said nobody had that footage but him. He didn't let anybody near it. You know, and he had TV producers and everybody that were there because they were going to pay him all this money for this footage. But every time it got to the part where the Bigfoot was at, a cat showed up. No pictures of the Bigfoot, but lots of pictures of kittens.
Wow.
Hand
well,
to God, it's a
I've
story.
Heard.
I'm not even kidding you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So now, Robin, when did you start having your experiences with the Bigfoot? That's what I think would be an interesting story for everybody.
2 and 3, maybe. My mom said when I was 2, I used to talk about my friend that was really, really taller than my dad and covered in hair. I remember somewhere between 3 and 4 being outside, and when I was outside, I'd look over. We lived, you know, in a subdivision, but at the end of my road was all woods. And there would be 3 or 4 of them that would come in the tree line.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when I was like 4, I'd go down there because you could ride your bikes and stuff down there. And I had a tricycle. And I would drive down. And back then you could go out. You know, we didn't worry about our kids being abducted back then. You know, it was a different time. Certainly you couldn't do that now. But we would I'd go down there. And they had sand piles and stuff, and I'd play in the sand, and I'd ride my little bike around there, and they'd stand in the tree line. Like, I just thought it was normal. I don't have a normal. That's what everybody else is normal. And it just, everywhere
yep.
I went, it was they would just show up. I mean, I wouldn't, it wasn't necessarily trying for it. I never did try for it. It was just always there. And you know, it was like as I grew up, I would go various places. Other people would pay attention to the scenery. I'd look for stick structures. I could tell y'all about stick structures and Bigfoots and ETs by the time I was 4 and a half years old.
Wow.
So I
now,
was
Pat,
a weird
how
kid.
Did it happen with you?
Well, a friend of a friend, he told me about, this is when all this started with me, was in Indiana. I went to the friend went to this person's land. She said she's having some activity and stuff like that. And I kind of thought, you know, hey, it'd be kind of neat to, you know, I've always wanted maybe do that, you know, kind of investigate. I saw all those shows on TV and, you know, I'd watch shows on Bigfoot
yeah.
and stuff like that. So then I called this person. And I said, well, hey, could I come on the weekends and kind of check things out or whatever? Oh, sure. Go ahead. So the first time I was up there, I got a picture of something in the bushes, and we got a wood knock. My brother said, Brother John went with me, and he said he saw a face in a tree. And then the second time I went up
Dude,
to this land.
Look, what did he show you?
What?
Oh, nothing. Go.
She saw it too, the lady, and it was like a huge black cloud, and then this stuff just got, what really got intense was when I went up there this one time. I told her name was Penny and her husband. The husband didn't believe in any of this stuff. I mean, he thought it was balderdash and the heck with this. And, you know, he didn't want anything to do with it, but he came up anyway. And so I went up, I told him, I said, well, let me go up. I tried different things. I said, well, I'll just go up by myself. So I went up, and it was like a circular area. And I went in the path, and then I saw this huge black hole come right onto the right of me. And as Robin said, I'm lucky probably to be here, because if I would have went into it, I probably would have been gone, because I think I'm pretty sure it was a portal, and something shot out of it. I saw it, went up ahead onto the road. It showed up for about a second, and then it disappeared. It's like instant cloak or something, you know. And I would go down where we thought the foots were. I would see these images, and I was on the trail. I'm not kidding you. This is unbelievable. I saw coming up, there's like a wash. And I looked down, and there was this black shape. It was small, and it crawled down into the back, the wash, and it was moving. And I think it was just a young Bigfoot. But when I see them, the Bigfoot, they're either black or I'll see them. It'll be an instant, a second. You know, I saw one the other day sitting in where I am right now, and he was translucent right at the window. He had a big afro, and he was looking inside the window. But, you know, it all started from that place in Indiana, and but my interest, you know, I was still interested when I was young. I would read Bigfoot, you know, books and stuff like that, but I never would imagine being involved like I am now. So it's just it's unbelievable.
Welcome to
you
my
know,
world,
it
honey.
Is.
I said, welcome to my world, honey.
And that's why you love her, Pat, right?
Yes. No, I love my wife for the person that she is, not for the Bigfoot stuff. I always told her.
Love you, baby. Well,
I love
I
you
met
very much.
Pat because a mutual friend said, listen, you know, you've helped me so much. I've got a friend of mine that he's got so much stuff going on and he doesn't really understand what's going on, but he knows there's something there. Will you talk to him? He really could use your help. And I said, yeah, I'll talk to him. You know, I mean, anybody that knows me knows if somebody calls me and wants help, if I can do it, I will. Doesn't mean I always can, but if I can. So I said, all right. I said, go ahead and give him my number. And he called me. And we talked and we ended up talking for almost, God, Pat, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
Before we actually met. And he finally, it was Christmas time, and he's like, you know what? I still have never met you. I'm going to come visit you. And I'm like, okay. And we've been together ever since.
Well, explain what happened when I first was up there.
Oh, this is a great story.
No, explain that.
All right.
I think you explain it better.
I have a bunch of Bigfoots around that usually hang around me.
Oh, they're right? A whole bunch.
And so I was at home, and Pat was on his way there, and he got there later in the day than what we had anticipated, but he got there. I saw him pull in. Now, I'd never seen him in person. I'd only talked to him on the phone. So to say I even really knew what he looked like, I really didn't. And so he pulled in the driveway, and you could pull right up to my porch. And he did, and he parked like side, you know, sideways across the end of the porch. And I saw him out there, and I thought, well, I hope that's him. I think it's him. I mean, I don't know what he looks like, but I'm sure it's him. And he gets out of the car, and I saw him immediately. Instead of looking at the house, he looked next to the house, which was all wood. And he stood there staring, transfixed on all this woods. And I'm like, what in the heck is he doing? Next thing I know, and you have to understand, my husband is like 6'2", or 6'3", 6'4". He's a big guy. He's not Tiny Tim. And this big guy is looking at the woods. And next thing I know, he's hightailing his ass back into the car. Rolls up the window, and he's got the car door shut. And I'm like, what in the heck is he doing? So I go out on the porch, and I'm like, Pat. And he's not even looking at me. He's staring at the woods. So I get down there, and he finally rolls the window down. I said, what are you doing? And he points to the woods, and I look at the woods, and the whole woods is lit up with eyes. And he said, did you not hear that? I said, no, I didn't hear a thing. I was inside. Apparently, they were unsure who was coming to my house. I didn't have a lot of guys come to my house. I mean, I was a single mom. I didn't date. I didn't want, not because I couldn't, because I didn't want to. I was focused on my kids and the Bigfoot. I didn't have gentlemen come over to my house. So they had no idea what was going on. And apparently, because he was new, they were going to play security detail. They scared the living crap out of him. I barely could hardly get him out of the car, let alone into the house. And I ended up, because they had been throwing such a fit, I walked past him in the car, and I'm standing there talking to the woods going, all right, you guys, you need to calm down. I don't know what you're doing to this guy. And they hadn't said, at that point, they didn't say a thing to me. They were focused on him. And I'm like, everything is fine. I invited him here. We need to Tontos calm down. You know, they were really worked up, and he like didn't even want to get out of the car. I finally got him in the house, and he couldn't get in that house fast enough. And I thought, well, and this is why I do not date.
And
well, that's
well,
good.
Yeah, they're
I will.
Pretty good.
I will
protection.
Say something though that. I never told anybody this. Robin knows about it. You remember I was coming back from Fort Wayne and Brownie was talking. He talked to me for about, God, the whole, almost the whole trip back. Remember that?
Yeah.
Tell me what was happening in the world and really telling me the truth.
Yeah. Yep.
That's been absolutely frightening, Pat, to hear the truth about what's going on. Oh my goodness.
Well, yeah.
He told me that basically what was happening was the certain parties were taking were opening portals. And they had, you know, basically had no idea what they're doing. And they're basically letting in all the bad stuff into this world. That's basically what it was in a nutshell. And
okay.
You know, I'm sure a lot of the stuff, you know, expands from that, you know, the experimentation and electrocution and stuff like that, that this party does to the foots. And
well, we need to realize that while we're trash in our world, we're trash in theirs too. You know, we're not the only thing that live on this planet. And unfortunately, everything we do affects everything here. And a lot of these things, whether it's the Bigfoot or the dogmen or a cryptid or the rats and the mice or whatever, they don't have a choice. So we don't just ruin things for us. We ruin it for everything out there, which is really sad. I mean, let's face it. We're part of the reason a lot of the species aren't around anymore.
That's
and it
true.
Seems like we're not going to stop until we're not around either.
Well, as an Indian saying, it says basically, is it the, I can't remember. It's about money, and basically they won't realize money will be gone and the food will be gone and stuff like that, but sooner or later they'll realize that they can't eat money.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, the first time he came to my house, it was definitely explosive.
Yeah, the whole woods erupted, and it was pretty wild.
Yep. Well, you know, some people have said to me, well, John, I just don't really believe about all the Bigfoots. I just don't believe about all this. Well, and I guess my response is this. Why are there so many stories? Why have so many people recorded stories that they have seen Bigfoot? And they say, well, I don't know. I said, there have been millions of stories. Lyle Blackburn, our friend and author of Momo the Missouri Monster, and of course he's the author of Lizard Man, The True Story of the Bishopville Monster, and a number of other books. He says that when he has gone to an area and done research about sightings, cryptid sightings and everything else, he said, out in Missouri, when you start looking at those newspaper articles from the late 1800s and early 1900s, he said, there are stories all over those newspapers about things like, you know, unusual cryptids and things like that in the woods. People didn't think a thing about it. It was a rather common occurrence. And when you go up to New Jersey and you start doing research and you see drawings of the Jersey Devil, well, there were frequently drawings by just regular people in town about what this Jersey Devil looked like. And there were stories of, rather matter-of-fact stories of people who lived there telling stories about the Jersey Devil. And if you look at them, they look a lot like a lizard man, like one of those 4.5,
really?
5 foot tall lizard men. And nobody really thought a thing about it. I think when we started getting so much digital communication that began probably in the 40s, that's when the era of radio really took off, thanks to the Army and the military, you know, being able to communicate. Once we started having such rapid-fire communication, the number of those stories dropped because there was actually nobody to listen to them. We were busy and involved in a war, and when people came back, when the troops came back from war, it seemed like a lot of people just weren't telling these stories. They were so tied up with what had just come back from war. And so you finish World War II, then you go to the Korean War, then you go to the Vietnam War, and I think, you know, time periods change. So what we had is we just had stories about things that were occurring out in the woods and entities that people would see creeping around their farms or whatever. That just kind of went away, and not that those occurrences went away, but just the reporting of them, because we had other things on our mind. We were worried about the Russians. We were worried about the space program. And so many things were happening in our world that the stories that used to interest us no longer interested us. As you realize, the subject of movies changes. Right now, we don't see a lot of movies that look like they were made in the 40s and 50s, romantic comedies or dramas. We just don't see those. We see very topical things that have to do with the internet age and young people, and not so much the older people like we saw in those movies. So the stories and the things that we share just seem to change. And not that any of these stories aren't any more real than the other. Now, we did go through a period in the 50s and the 60s. What did we see tons of stories about? About UFOs. Now, and then, of course, everybody said, oh, UFOs don't exist. They certainly don't exist. Well, I think our government has now shown us that maybe they do. And nobody's saying very much about it. And, in fact, what's interesting, and everybody correct me if I'm wrong, but the instances of UFO stories recently in the last year or so that this information is coming out from the government, the instances of UFO stories seems to have dropped. Has anybody noticed, Devin, have you noticed that that, now I'm just going to pick on Devin because he's out there on the West Coast where they would tend to write stories like that and not be ashamed to write them in the newspapers. Devin, have you noticed that UFO stories have kind of dropped the coverage of them?
Yeah, I haven't seen any for a while.
Right. Papa Stroh, have you noticed you're out there in the Onslow County area? They don't write stories about UFOs in the local newspaper and show them on television much anymore, do they?
Yeah, I hardly. I haven't seen any in quite a while, actually. It's just been kind of too quiet, if you will.
Well, yes, that's a good way to say it. I know that in the 60s, there were plenty of stories in the newspapers, and they made movies about them, and a lot of those movies came from screenplays, which were original stories of UFO encounters, and we just don't see them anymore. But now they're talking about how these stories are real and that our pilots have had to contend with them. So I think the stories that are popular to hear have changed. I mean, we're hearing stories about TikTok. We're hearing stories about China and espionage. And that seems to be popular now, but we weren't seeing, I mean, other than maybe Chinatown, the movie, I mean, we haven't seen really very much about espionage and conspiracy theories. I mean, there was a time when every time you went to the movie theater, there was nothing but a spy thriller on. And that was during the time of the Cold War. Well, we're starting to see some of those again now. So it ebbs and flows. It goes up and down. And I think that if we look at it, it'll even out. We're going to start seeing stories about UFOs again because people do enjoy that. And although there might be a tendency right now for Hollywood not to be making those movies because they might be a little bit politically too sensitive, and it might be somewhat better if people don't talk about them with all the news that's coming around. So it's just really interesting how the time and place for everything changes. So if anyone sees any stories on UFOs or anything other than, of course, CNN or Fox News will flash out a story really quick about, oh, pilots saw UFOs, but they don't really talk about any abduction stories or anything like we used to hear. So I think it just is a matter of the timing, but yes, things change, and what we talk about changes. We don't really see that many ghost stories in the newspapers these days, whereas we used to see them, and they were in the newspapers all the time in the late teens, 20s, and 30s. Now they're not, so it's a matter of what we're used to. There were times in the late 1800s and early 1900s, there were talks of big, hairy men out in the forest. We don't talk about them. So that's, I guess, what I want to say about it. And Pat, it's been great talking to you, and Robin, it has, because your stories are, you know, they're really valuable. And of course, I want to thank VOC Nation for having us on there, VOC Nation and Brady Hicks. Not only are we on live Monday night, but we're also on tape delayed on Friday night at 11 p.m., and that goes up until midnight. Now, our good friend, cohort, and commentator, Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling, has a great show on Friday night, and it's at midnight. So, Papa Stroh, tell us about the show that you have, and then, as I asked you earlier today, give us a few details about the great movie that you're going to be showing and discussing this Friday night at midnight, right after ScaryCast on VOC Nation.
Well, this Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro, will be another edition of the Stroh Zone, in which this Friday night's feature will be the original Godzilla King of the Monsters film starring Raymond Burr. So really excited about featuring that particular film, on which I know, Dr. John, you and I discussed a while back about that. That film almost won an Oscar during that time period. So
it was absolutely the front runner from Toho Films.
Mm-hmm.
I think political pressure might have had that film drop. Raymond Burr, absolutely. If you've seen that film, Raymond Burr is very deserving of an Academy Award for his portrayal of the American Reporter. It's a great film. It really is. It's frightening, and the sound effects are so good that in all of the remakes of Godzilla, they have used those sound effects from Toho Films to be the sound effects representing Godzilla King of the Monsters. And I think that's just great. Now, Papa Stroh, you have seen this movie before, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Yeah, quite a few times.
What did you think about it? Give us the thumbnail review of Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Oh, it was great. And I liked how they took the time explaining how things came to be with Godzilla and the fact that motives did the monster have to do what he did, more or less in the film. So, I mean, it was nice. I mean, nothing too rushed. It was a nice long storytelling of the film. And Raymond Burr was just exceptional as always. Great actor. So, it was really cool. I mean, I really enjoyed the original very much.
Right. And now, speaking of Raymond Burr, Devin, you have a story about the Raymond Burr estate or house. Can you give us a little recap of that? And where is that? And what's going on out there? Because you've been there, correct?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time up there a few years ago. My friend was the on-site caretaker of it. So it's been abandoned for quite a few years now. But the owner of it, you know, is keeping it kind of just keeping it vacant. And he usually has somebody there as a caretaker for it, but it is it's a very strange, creepy old place. I know it was built even before Raymond Burr owned it. I believe somebody, a reporter with the Hollywood Citizen News, which was the old newspaper back in the early 1900s, believed that person built the house. So there was never like a specific entity that I was able to kind of identify, but you definitely felt things kind of moving past you. You kind of heard like maybe whispers coming from other rooms. So there's definitely some activity there. And I tried to do an investigation, but you know, if I would have known Robin and Dr. John back then, I would have had some better advice.
Oh, we would have had so much fun.
Yeah, well, who knows? Maybe we can still go check it out one of these days.
Yeah, that would be fun.
If we had the opportunity to go to the old Raymond Burr house, that would be a landmark event. It really would. Because I'd looked at that right after we had discussed that on our show that other night, and I don't see any records of any ghost hunts there. And I just think it would be wonderful.
Yeah.
And now Raymond Burr passed away, and wasn't he buried? He was buried not very near that house, correct?
Yeah, I think he.
Did anybody else hear that but me?
Ooh, what was that?
I heard something. Well, I heard something.
I
what did you hear, Rob?
The spirit of Raymond Burr coming through.
It sounds like a fight. It does.
Well, as long as Raymond knows. A little bit. Well, you know, now I'm going to switch over to Robin because Robin can tell us briefly that story that occurred at the Somerville Comic-Con this past December. And we were doing a live podcast of Murder 123 there at the Rec Center in Somerville. And we had the PA system up. We had the microphones on,
yeah.
And Robin, what were we hearing?
Well, we could hear the spirit talking through the PA system. It was absolutely crazy. I mean,
the name of the lady was Lavinia Fisher.
Yes.
And Lavinia had, you know, was accused of killing. She and her husband were accused of killing people. When what we kind of figured out is that they were fingered by the local county who wanted to take their land and build a naval base on it down there in Charleston.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what a horrible fate that they had being in that old, horrible Charleston jail. and it was
dirty. Yeah, they were not happy people.
And they beat the prison and everything, took them out and hung them. And they portrayed Lavinia and her husband as murderers. They weren't great people. I mean, they were mean. Of course, a lot of people were back then. You had to be able to survive. But it was just a mess. But anyway, and that may be a little tangent, but I'm glad we were able to talk about that because the Raymond Burr name does fit in with that great movie Godzilla. Now, Robin and Pat, I haven't asked you this, but do you have any memories or thoughts about that great movie Godzilla? Either the original that Papa Stroh is going to show this Friday night or one of the two remakes that have come along. Do you have any comments or things you'd like to
like
share about seeing that movie?
I'm just,
yes, ma'am?
I didn't like the remake. I just didn't. I felt bad because I was...
Pardon?
You know... And I was just, I don't know what it was about that. I don't know if it was because I was already involved with cryptids or what it was. But I used to watch those all the time. Now, I've watched the new one. They had Matthew Broderick in it, and he was pretty good at it. You know, but I didn't look at it the same way I did the others.
Well, Robin... I'll tell you something very interesting about the conversation. Yes, Robin, can you hear me?
Now I can. I don't know what's going on. I can hear what sounds like rustling in the background. Like I can hear people yelling and everything.
Because for the past 5 minutes, apparently you have been on mute on our system. But yeah, I could hear you just fine. That's crazy. But you are on mute. I just happened to go back to the control panel, and there you were. So, I mean,
strange
things happen.
Yeah, all I can hear is it sounds like a wrestling match. And they're talking about Andre the Giant. That's all I can hear.
Oh, my. Andre the Giant.
All right. Now, Papa Stroh, with your knowledge of wrestling, who might be coming through to us on this day? That might have passed away on this day or whatever, that might have known Andre the Giant. You got any names for us?
Well, too many, but I don't know about this particular day, more or less. But Andre worked with a lot of people. who knows?
Yes, he did. And, you know, Andre worked with a lot of people, and it looks like Robin just floated back, and now she's back on. Well, Papa Stroh, we need to talk about that when we hit the green room after this show. So once I do my call around, I'm going to call you and talk about that. That's interesting, and we'll see what we can do. Now, Robin, dear, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay, great, because you had slipped off to mute.
Yeah, because all I was hearing was a video about Andre the Giant. Like, it was crazy. I don't even understand where it from or why it came, but that's all I kept hearing. And they were screaming. It was like it was one of his fights, and then they were talking about how wonderful he was, which I agree, but I didn't have anything on about him. I don't know what the heck was going on.
Well... One never knows. Well, anyway, it's about, as they say in the mountains, it's about quitting time. We've had a lot of fun, a lot of interesting talk tonight on ScaryCast. We had Papa Stroh talk to us about the upcoming issue of the Stroh Zone, where he and his cohort, Dorothy, will be featuring the great classic Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And I'll tell you what, it's a wonderful film. It never gets Papa Stroh, Godzilla, King of the Monsters, it just never gets old, does it?
Never does. True classic.
Yeah.
You know, an example of a true classic is It's a Wonderful Life. That film is almost 90
wonderful.
Years old, and it is just as fresh today as it was back then, and we still we all take the opportunity to watch it and enjoy it. So wanted to say thank you. If you're listening on this Monday night, We were glad to have you, as we have had a little bit of interference from the hereafter, I believe.
Yeah,
and then
I do too, because
to
weird stuff is going on.
That's right. And then if you're listening to it on Friday night, it won't be but about 3 minutes until you can listen to Papa Stroh and Dorothy on Stroh the Maestro on Facebook, and then you can watch none other than Godzilla, King of the Monsters. So, and I know that people love your show, Papa Stroh. You've had some of the true classics. You've had White Zombie. You've had Creature from the Black Lagoon. And now you're going to have Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Papa Stroh, I've got a request. Sometime in the next
sure.
little while, do you think that you could haul out King Kong, the original 1933 with Fay Wray? Do you think you could find that one, Papa Stroh?
That's a good one. It really is.
Yeah, I'll see what I can pull together. So a spoiler for next week's episode of the Stroh Zone, and this first here, right? it's going to be the 1980s Trancers movie. For next week.
Really?
Oh, cool.
Yes. So,
well, that
very
is
cool.
Really excited that about. I know you're going to have a lot of fans watch that with you and Dorothy. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the one that's Helen Hunt's in that one, the original Trancers in the 80s.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, look, everybody, from us to you, from Hollywood and Devin Tate, we'll see you next week, right?
Yep.
Sounds great.
All right, Robin.
See everybody
Robin
soon.
Robin and Pat. And Pat, you're always welcome. Glad to have you here. We'll see you next week, right?
Okay.
Take care.
All right, that's great.
See
Papa
everybody.
Stroh. Well, Papa Stroh, I'll see you twice before next week, because actually tomorrow night, if I can make it, you've got In the Room with Brady Hicks from 9 to 11 p.m. On Thursday night, you have got WCW Retro at 9 p.m. on the VOC Nation, and that's always a lot of fun. Do we have any special guests, or are we just all special this week?
We are all wonderful.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, that's good. I guarantee you that Malcolm Wildman and I will both be there, and you know that.
No, that's awesome.
Exactly, and then of course we'll see on the Stroh Zone, and I will see everybody. My next appearance on VOC Nation will be this Thursday night, 9:30 p.m. sharp, at WCW Retro, and I will have some kind of a great. I'll have some kind of a great historical wrestling match and everything. So, look, thanks a lot to everybody. We've enjoyed it. It's been such a good discussion. This is certainly not scripted. We just talk about the things that have happened to us. We'll see everybody next week at 9 o'clock p.m. on VOC Nation for ScaryCast. And don't forget to join us this Friday night, in case you missed any part of this show, Friday night, 11 p.m., VOC Nation, you can hear ScaryCast followed at midnight by the one, the only, Papa Stroh and the Stroh Zone. Thanks to everybody. We've enjoyed it. I'll do a call around, check in with our hosts, and talk to everybody soon. Cheers.
Take care.
Good
Bye.
Night.
Au revoir.
Bye.